What?
Like
Schmoes.
Yeah.
These are all things that we're going to do. So I'm just giving you like a bit of a heads up. So the Lashonos are important because they imply that, you know, the Dibur is some is registered, certainly negatively, maybe even positively, as a requirement. Certainly can't be imprecise. So that could just be for technical reasons, or it could be more. And that's one of the things we want to look at. Of course, they're also a little important in their own right, you know, just continuing to try to identify, right, what is singular about, you know, Kiddushin, you know, the Kinyan part, the Oser part, the, you know, the impending, like, Nisuin part. So the different Lashonos, you know, that emphasize different things, L'tova and L'ra'ah, the ones that don't work and the ones that do work. There are a few, like, little surprises along the way. So we need to look at those, you know, quickly as well. But especially Yadayim She'ein Mochichos and Asukim Bo'osa Inyan, as well as the general idea that the Lashon can matter in terms of Kiyikach, especially, but even, you know, more specifically the Lashonos, this is an important part of this entire integrated daf. But we'll start off with Nasan Huva Amrahi. So let's just start off, you know, with the basic things. First of all, Nasna Hi V'Amarhu, the case that's not in the Gemara that the Bali Tosas speak about. So, of course, the Tosas Al-Atar, the Ramas HaNasan Huv Amrahi, and, you know, you'll see the little Aleph of the Gra, who notes that the Rif and the Rambam and the Rajba disagree. So look at the Rajba. I mean, obviously look at the Rambam too, but the Rajba is more explicit. Like, what's going... Oh, thanks. What's going on in that... And that was, oh boy, you gave me
both volumes.
Both volumes. Maybe I can, like, you know, steal them a little bit for a couple of weeks.
It's from the upstairs.
They're from the upstairs?
Yeah.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, less guilt.
As long as you leave the Sidurim there in the upstairs.
Right. I you know, and I took all the Sidurim, but then I felt so guilty that I gave them all back. So, but right, I'm surprised you knew. Did you see me, or you just instinctively knew it? Okay, so that's, let's start off with Nasan Hi V'Amarhu very quickly, because that's a little bit connected to something that we've talked about already, but we'll, you know, obviously have to speak more about, and that's the Sugya of, you know, Adam Chashuv and so on. But more to the point, in terms of Nasan Hi V'Amarhu, so the Gemara, of course. And, you know, Rashi tells us, especially the Rif, the Rif's Girsa, the Ran's view on the Rif's Girsa, the Shita Lanoda Lami, who had the opposite reading of the Ran of the Rif's Girsa. So that's very important. The Rambam's Girsa, which is also different. That's where the look at the Rambam, Paragimel, Halacha, Aleph, and Beis. Also look at the Nosei Kalim on the Rambam. All sorts of interesting things that come up in the Nosei Kalim. Also the Rambam in Perek Hey, Halacha Chaf Aleph. That's the Rambam's take on the Gemara Dav Zayin on Mekadesh Midin Arev. Right? Tein Manu L'Poni V'Kadesh Anilach Mekadesh Midin Arev. And the Rambam there says, just, you know, in Hey Chaf Aleph, that you have to repeat the Amira. And the Ran interprets the Rambam as connecting that to the problem of Nosan Huva Amrahi, and he himself likes that pshat, but he quotes Acherim, very important view of the Acherim. So that's so you have to look at the Rambam, Echav Aleph, and also maybe even more especially at the Ran on Zion Amad Aleph on Mekudesh Midin Arev, and connect that also with the question whether or not you need Amira for Kiddush Shtar. I think we mentioned it once this year, but the Girsa of Rashi, or the non-Girsa of Rashi in the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph, but the Rashi on the Rif, which seems to say that even Shtar requires an Amira. Look also at the Meiri on Beis Amud Aleph on that question, and the Rif on on Daf, basically his understanding of the Gemara and Daf Hey about Get, but the Nuskalos, again, the riff as written and the riff according to the Girsa of the Bach. And, you know, compare this with the question of Asuka Voso Inyan that comes up in several of the Rishonim here al Atar and some of the Nosa Kalim of the Rambam, right? What if there is Asuka Voso Inyan and then there's Nosan Huva Amrahi? Does it matter? If you want, you can also look a little bit in the postgame. We'll discuss it very quickly. Let's say there are two Nosan Huva Amrahis back to back. This doesn't appear in the Rishonim. Like, now it sees Mekadesh. An Isha Nasan Huva Amrahi, right? And then, you know, another Isha. I'm not sure why he has this Nasan Huva Amrahi fetish, or he's just, you know, meeting strong-willed you know, women who are trying to push the envelope. I'm not sure what's happening there, but I mean, it's not a real case, so I'm just joking. But let's say you do two Nasan Huva Amrahis. Does that matter? Like, is each one a safek? Which is another way of saying, is this a halachic safek, or is it more of a pragmatic safek? If it's a halachic safek, then maybe, you know, when you multiply it, the second one doesn't really register. Iman of Shach, if it's a more pragmatic one, then each time, you know, you have a separate safek. So basically what we're interested in are the details of Nasan Huva Amrahi, and how it fits in certain applications, but we're also interested in two other related questions as part of that. One is the role of Amira in Kiddushin, which is the bigger theme of this whole daf. And the other one is closely connected to that, the parameters of Kiyikach Ish Isha Velo Kitilakach, you know, Isha Leish, or Kitikach Isha, right? What does that apply to? Does it only apply to things that are, you know, a positive requirement of a positive component in the Ishus? Does it apply to, you know, anything that is actually done in the context of the Ishus, or something in between, you know, all of those, something that becomes a chalos in the Ishus, even if it isn't necessary? That's obviously, depending on how you understand Amira, how you understand this din, it's going to have implications for the scope, let's say, of Kiyikach, Ish Isha itself. So that's really what I want you to look at. And then after that, again, we're going to branch out to the question of Yadayim She'in Mochichos, which, as I say, is mostly a concept that we associate with Hafla. And the question is whether its application here, you know, is just an indication that it shouldn't be limited to Hafla, and we were just wrong about that. Maybe it applies any time, you know, there's some question of Dibur or of Birur. Maybe that's really what it's about. If it is mostly a Din and Hafla, so what does it tell us, again, about Kiddushin and about Amira in Kiddushin? How do we paskin in Yadayim She'in Mochichos? If you'll see, this is the issue that the Bali Tosis are already struggling with, and then the Chachmei Sfarad, right, the Ramban, the Rajba, the Ritva get into it, and of course there seem to be some stiras in the Rambam, you know, between Hilchos Nazir and Hilchos Ishus and Gerushin even. So, you know, maybe that's precisely the solution, right? That, you know, we don't paskin Yadayim She'in Mochichos, or at least equally in all cases. But the very notion of Yadayim She'in Mochichos here is something that we want to look into. And I say then the issue of Asuk and Boso Inyan, you know, what is the nature of that halacha? Is that connected to, again, the, you know, lack of a need for Amira, or that's considered Amira, or Birur? What exactly is that? Does it, you know, only solve the problem of an absence of some sort of a mechayev, or does it something which is you know, a necessary component? You know, does it also fix seemingly, you know, imprecise statements? So again, these are the things that we want to look at, and then Mishnah Lashonos themselves, something, some of them more specific. Okay, so that is, that's what we look forward to. So I said I would say something about the Parsha, and then something about a few things I want to still zero in on Daf Daled, but I don't want to do it on Thursday. Again, we'll only take another Monday when we get a chance. But I want to speak a little bit about today, the question of the relationship between father and daughter. It's going to come up again anyway when we get to Daf Tes, when we'll discuss this. But it came up, obviously, already on Gimel Amud Beis and Daled Amud Aleph, and I gave you some Marmokomos, which I never got back to, so I want to discuss some of them very quickly. Okay, maybe I'll start with that, and then if we have time, we'll do the something on the problem. I'll make sure to have. I'm not going to go too much on this part, but I still probably want to fill in that, and I want to fill in B'nai Banim Harei Kibon, or Zera, you know, Ein Lo Ayin Allah, and it's when... you know, what are the parameters of that? But when do we say B'nai Banim Kibanim, for which Halachos, and so on. So those are a couple of things that, you know, I still owe in terms of the first semester that I'm going to try to get back to. So just regarding the question of the relationship between father and daughter, let me just at least say a few words about that first. So this is an issue that comes up obviously on a Gimel Amud Beis and Daled Amud Aleph, in the context of the possibility that we would be comfortable with him being Mekadesh on her behalf, right? But, you know, maybe she receiving, you know, the money. The Gemara has the possibility that we're going to be Mechalek between Ketana and Nara. We still have to get back to what that Havamina really was. Was that a Havamina that, you know, when Anara is Miskadeshes by herself, when she's Yesh Layad Lekadesh, then on that condition she'll get the money? Is that what the Gemara is really discussing? Is it possible that she will do the Yad Lekadesh, and the question is whether she gets the money, whether he gets the money? But everybody agrees that when he's Mekadesh her, that he gets the money? Or is it the opposite? Is it that when she is miskadeshes by herself, she certainly gets the money? There would never be even a havamina in that situation that he would get it. On the contrary, it's the opposite case. It's the case where he is mekadesh her, that's he, the father, has the yad or exercises the yad, even though she also has a yad. And the question is whether or not even then she receives the kesef. So this, on the one hand, Gemara Havamina by Ketana, that it's weighing whether or not she could receive even when she has no yad. And then the question is, Lamaskana, that isn't true. And then similarly, or the parallel opposite in a way, depending on your point of view, right, the Gemara has the possibility of distinguishing between Nara and Ketana, and the question is, you know, and how, what is the extreme there? Is the extreme that she would get money even though he is the one who exercises the act of Kiddushin, right? Or is it the opposite, that even when she has a yad, he still gets her money? So that's two contexts in which this comes up. Obviously, the bigger question involved is to what extent, right, in this relationship, and possibly that's Kufa the Chiluk between Ketana and Nara, right, do we see him as a kind of, you know, shliach for her interests, notwithstanding the fact that Ein Shlichus LeKetana? So what we would say is that, you know, it's a kind of apotropsis, you know, or special din that a father has been given. You know, it's typically, we'd have to say something like, if you're going to say this idea, the more we want to see it as kind of a typical shlichus. So what we would say is that typically ain't shlichus l'ktana, because you know, kol di bayabed shliachi bay mashvi, she can't do it on her own. That's one factor. Number two is that there's a lack of tziruf, because, you know, you know, a ketana, you know, can't identify, you know, with a gadol who's doing this kind of an action. But when it comes to a father's capacity on behalf of his daughter, that the Torah already recognizes, so there's a certain, you know, the idea of kodi boy mashvi shliachi boy, you know, shavya, doesn't apply, because that the whole point is that the Torah has given him the right to do this on her behalf. Moreover, the tzirf problem is not a problem, because this isn't some, you know, rishus or some, you know, extraneous action or just pure monetary action. It's, you know, it's her marital destiny, which is very much, you know, a family matter. And the whole point is that the Torah, you know, established that there is that tzirf. We'll see later on that these ideas kind of echo in other ways when we find that possibly, again, daf tes and daf yud tes, that, you know, she is able to play some, according to some Rishonim, some role in her kiddushin, even as a katana. She's kind of able to be, according to, this is the view of the Rush, famous view of the Rush on daf tes and daf yud tes, but we'll speak about it more fully, but it's definitely connected to this broader question. She's able to be like a shliach for her father. Now, we're talking about whether or not he can be like an apotropos or a super shliach, you know, for her, and how that figures into the problems of, you know, ein shlichos liktana. What you have on daf tes and daf yud tes is the discussion in the Rishonim, how can she do anything? After all, how can she serve as a shliach or have any kind of a yad when it comes to kiddushin? And part of the discussion in some of the Rishonim, the Rush, very prominent among them, is the idea that, you know, maybe she can be a shliach, you know, to her father, you know, who is basically serving, you know, on her behalf. So this idea, in a way, it's an inverse of the same principle. We're trying to figure out whether the father's acting on behalf of his minor daughter can be an exception, you know, to the typical rule of ein shlichos liktana. And what we find in sugyas later on in Tes and Yud Tes is whether or not her serving some legal function, right, in something that belongs, you know, to a gadol, in this case her father, is impossible, you know, specifically because it's her father, specifically because it's her father working on her behalf. So, you know, what these things do is they create a certain natural tziruf, a natural, you know, it's linkage or association. There's a certain identification between what's taking place. When people are gedolim, the point is that, you know, they're bardas. That's that we learn, you know, from the parsha of Truma, which is the source of shlichus, or many of the dinim of shlichus. Ma'atem b'nei das, right? Not kulam b'nei das. So the point is that when people have a certain level of maturity and they have their own jurisdiction, so they can choose, right, to identify or to appoint someone, you know, who's going to be identified with them, be mitzuref to them. But the point is that a katana normally can't have that. But where, you know, either the Torah allows for it, or maybe even more subtly, where the issues are ones which join these people's interests together objectively, and that's what I mean by tziruf, so maybe you could have that. And you have it, as I say, expressed in these two opposite ways. So one way to look at the father's role is more in terms of shlichus, you know, with this, you know, in mind, a kind of an apotropos, a shlichus, etc. Even then, is he a typical shliach, you know, notwithstanding this exception and because of this explanation, or is he a more, like, independent shliach by virtue of it? Now, he could be kind of a shliach, but more like an apotropos type shliach, or more like a, you know, Zochin type Shliach, if there's a difference between Zchiyah and Shlichos, which is a topic in its own right, according to the Rishonim, think that there is. Or like a Mursha, for example, if there's a difference between Harsha and Shlichos. Thus we find that there are more independent type Shlichim, Shlichim who are not Shlucho Shel Adam Kimoso exactly, but who are, you know, effective, where the result, let's say, accrues, not necessarily the action itself. And when the result is more, you know, the focus rather than the action, so the need for the Parsha of Truma, or even, you know, Koli Boy Ovid, Shlichi Boy Mashvi, things of that sort, in other words, where you're looking, you're yanking your head back and forth between the Shliach and the Mishaleach, you know, Ki'ilu, everything the Shliach is doing is being done on behalf of the Mishaleach. You don't need to do that as much if you're interested more in, if you farmed out kind of the action and the focus is really on the chalos. So that already may be a qualitative difference. But it's possible to go further than that and say that the Father risen really isn't, again, if we take this middle view, then the question is, how significant are the differences, even vis-a-vis other things that we're going to discuss? Namely, if he's more the, you know, representative for the result than for the Maisa, so things having to do with the Maisa, right, how do we look at that? For example, in terms of the Sugya, the main issue in the Sugya, which is, you know, is this an example of Bal Korcha, right? We're all familiar with Tosas's comment, and we discussed the difference in Rishonim regarding it. Namely, it's not Tosas has the view, right, in bottom of Hamad Beis and earlier, that, you know, since it's not Bal Korcha Da'av, it's not Bal Korcha, right? So it's an interesting question to ask this question according to the various formulations of how the Father, you know, acting on behalf of his daughter works, right? If he's like, you know, for Shlucho Shaladim Kimoso, you know, in a typical fashion, and we've overcome those obstacles, but it's something like that, that's one scenario. If it's more that he, you know, is not, it's not Shlucho Shalom Kimoso, but it's Shlichos on the Chalos, on the result, etc., then we might look at it differently. Certainly, if we take an even broader view, which is that basically he is the Bailin on this Ishus. Again, let's not exaggerate too much, you know. She is the Miskadeshes, she's the Chefza Shel Isha. Things having to do with the, you know, with her status as an Eishes Ish, and as the Isha, of course, that she's the Chefza. But in terms of the Maisa Kiddushin, right, maybe it's not a din in Shlichos, or even a kind of wider apotropsis or whatever. It's that there's a Chalos, you know, Ishes Shel Ketana, that is Biyad Habal. In that respect, he becomes the Bailin, and possibly this Ishus is a different Chalos Ishus in general. We should be looking for other, you know, potential. Now, when you ask the question, is this an example of a Kinyan Bal Korcha, right? So, you know, it's not a simple answer. If I said to you, is it more of a Kinyan Bal Korcha if we're dealing with Shlichos? Or if it, you know, and he does something, let's say, that she's screaming and yelling she doesn't like, right? Or that she can't do on her own. Or is it more Bal Korcha if it's like his to do, not just in terms of the Maisa, even the middle Shita, but in terms of the, it's a Chalos Ishus, that is his, that's his jurisdiction. Again, she's the Eishes Ish. But, you know, this is his Chalos Ishus. So is it Bal Korcha? Well, it's less Bal Korcha because maybe we don't really care. If we were to ignore her, because he's playing even a greater role, so then from that point of view, it would be even less Bal Korcha, right? Because the relevant party, or the, you know, relevant party mostly, you know, is doing everything according to his will. On the other hand, you know, in terms of the reality, the grim reality, the happy reality, whatever it is, you know, depending on whether the father does know best or not, you know, that she is, is the Eishas Ish. She's an Isha. She's a Cheftashal Isha. She's in the Ishus, right? But on the other, he's not working even for her in that respect, meaning it's his decision, it's his call, everything. So in that respect, it's more Bal Korcha. So I just think that the discussion in the Rishonim, not everybody holds like Rabbeinu Tam to say that there's no Bal Korcha here because, you know, it's Birtzono, it's Midato. Some of them give different answers to this question and say, oh yeah, that's true, but the Ashkechan here is Bal Korcha, but we have, you know, other examples of it and so on and so forth. So obviously the question of Bal Korcha very much connects to how he is really operating, you know, in this case. Just that not so clear, right, where you draw the line and in which direction you go. So that's a big issue. The Havaminas, Maskanas, can you ever split the money from the Maisa is another issue. A third question is the question of being Mechalik, as we've noticed. Not only between Nara and Katana, which is an obvious skiluk, but also between the different issues, you know, that are parallel in terms of father-daughter relationships. So here we have, like, in Kiddushin itself, you have, you know, his role in being Mekadesh her, and whether that's considered Bal Korcha, that's one issue, right? Then the second issue is, you know, in terms of where the money goes and how we look at the money, whether you can split the money. In the Gemara itself, those are treated as two different issues, right? Then, of course, you have the other issues that the Gemara compares it to in its attempt, right, to justify the Yatzachina Nein Kasef and so on. Namely, what about his ability, right, to make her an Ama Ivriya? What about Maisi Adayim? What about Hafaras Nadarim? What about Gvias Aknas? Right? What about Gvias, things that are not exactly Knas but on the periphery? Boshes, Pagam, Tsar. What about Gvias Aksuva? Right? What about being the Bailim with regard to things like Bari Vashema, Bari Adif, right? What about being the Bailim with respect to fusing, right, Cheskas HaGuf and you know, Cheskas HaGuf to the right toeing? I'll explain what these things mean in a minute. So again, this is a mass, as you can imagine, this is a massive topic. We'd have to spend a lot of time to really sort it all out. It's totally worth doing. I just don't want to get distracted now. So that's why I'm just going to give you three or four issues and examples just to highlight it. Again, even as we discussed when we learned the Sugya of Chuppah, right, even the possible distinction, never mind between the Kesef and the Yad, but between Erisin and Nesuin, right? Again, part of the whole Rabbeinu Tam discussion, as we noted, is, you know, whether you assume an equation between koach ha'av, you know, bechuppah, and koach ha'av be'erusin. When we discussed this originally, we partially discussed it, you know, in terms of our broader analysis of the relationship between erusin and nesuin. Right? Is one more kinyan and one's more matir? Is one because, you know, it's the first stage, right? And there's no, you know, tziruf, the other because it's the second stage and there already is a connection. Whatever the chilukim that we were pursuing then, they're relevant also to this question. Structurally, you can't blame the Rishonim. It's understandable. We would have predicted even that most of the Rishonim would assume that, for example, when it comes to the Hagdara of what's considered Bal Karka, that whatever you're going to say about the father and the daughter in Erusin, you're going to say the same thing for the father and daughter in Nisuin. But because we know that there might be distinctions, and that there are, for example, in the level of Das, meaning is it a right of refusal for the father, or is it the need for his input, and things of that sort. So once we know that, so then the possibility that it also even alters this particular equation, namely whether or not, we're talking about, the father as a kind of a shliach, the father as somebody who is independent, it's basically his chalos. There could be a huge difference in either direction between Erusin and Nisuin. So the Rishonim here, when they talk about, for example, the Gemara's Havaminas, about Kesef, splitting Kesef in Kiddushin, the Ramban and the Ritva in particular, when they talk about the conundrum that Tosis discusses on Gimel Amud Beis about Boshus and Pagam. Remember, the Gemara had a moment where the Gemara said, well, you can't learn out Kiddushin from Boshus and Pagam because that's a separate din, but the Gemara in Ksuva says that separate din is based on Ibai Moser La Limenuval Ulimbuka Shchin. So some of the Rishonim's effort to get out of that is to formulate, either in the Maskana or in the Havamina, is the father, in these rites, a kind of a shliach, or is it kind of his right as an independent, as an autonomous, factor in these considerations? In which case, the ability to be Mekadesh and the ability to collect the Kiddushei Kesef may be two different things. Again, I don't want to review all those things, the ones that we did, but the whole sugya basically revolves around these questions. So the Lashonos in the Rambam distinguish between Nara and Katana are things that we mention. But what I did want to mention is just four brief examples where this issue comes up in related issues, and to show you that it's not so simple. And that either we have to be mechalik or we have to assume that Rishonim, in some cases, are just arguing about these issues. So one of them is the discussion of the Rishonim in Ksuvis and Ayin Hay and Vav. And that's a very, very well-known discussion. But the Mishnah says here in Ksuvis and Ayin Hay, that hoye bamumin va'oda v'beis avia ha'av tzarech l'havi raya shemin shinis arsa hoye bamumin alalu v'nestapcha sadeu nichnesur l'shus abal tzarech l'havi raya sh'ad shalonis arsa hoye bamumin elu v'hoye mikcho nekach tos. The Rabbi Meir. Okay. So, this sheet of Rabbi Meir, that if there's a dispute about when she became a balas mum, and whether or not it's mekach tos or it's nestapcha sadeu. So a mayor says, well, it depends, right? If the mumin came to light before or after, right? She was while she was rishus av or after she, switched, she transitioned into rishus habal. That's the Mishnah's conclusion. So it sounds good. And the Gemara, of course, challenges it. The Gemara tries to figure out, where does this fit in with the discussion between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua earlier in Ksuvis, in the end of the first parak of Ksuvis, and the beginning of the second parak of Ksuvis. Well, there seems to be a major debate whether or not, number one, Bari B'Shema plays a role when there's a dispute between, parties such as this, like a husband and a wife, disputing on her status. Number two, what about the status of Cheskas HaGuf? So, the Gemara originally says, Tamad Maisi HaAvraya, Holo Maisi HaAvraya, I mean, the onus is on the father, right, to prove that it's not a Mekachtos, and that this Mumin, you know, he, you know, it's the onus is on him to prove that they came later, right? Habal Ne'eman, money. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshua, Amar Lomi Pia Anuchayim. We believe the. We don't believe his bari. We don't believe her bari. We don't believe her cheskas haguf. But ema seifa nechnesas l'shus habal habal tzarich lahavi raya. Tamid ma'ase habal raya halo ma'ase habal raya ha'av mehemen asan or gamliel domer nemenes. So the Gemara just points out that if you were to plug in the machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, both about bari v'shema or bari v'shema plus cheskas haguf. Right, so the factor of when the mumin surfaced, right, whether they were brishusa'av or brishusa'bal, seemingly are irrelevant to that. So what's going on? So the Gemara, right, initially says that that's very fascinating. Shaklavataria. The Gemara says tavra mishushanazu lo shanazu. Okay, meaning it's a machlokes, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. And it's not one integrated mission. Okay. Obviously not a satisfying answer, but that's the Gemara thought. Then Gemara says, Omar Rava, lo tem Rav Yeshua, lo azu basa chazaka de gufa klal. This is very important. Rav Yeshua doesn't deny the concept of cheskas haguf, which means that you assume, right, perfection, right, until you know that there is imperfection, or you assume status quo, right, natural status quo, which is that a person doesn't have mumin until you know for a fact that there are mumin, right? Even Rabbi Yeshua believes that something called cheskas haguf, right? Eleki lo azul Rabbi Yeshua basa cheskas guf echadika chazaka de mamona. I will take the lake chazaka de mamona azul Rabbi Yeshua basa chazaka de gufa. Then the Gemara discusses that. Then the Gemara has another possibility. It's all about kanimtsa, kanhaya, which makes more sense in terms of that. Anyways, finally, the Gemara says that no, it's all according to it's the explanation of Rav Ashi. What is Rav Ashi? So the Gemara explains that Rav Ashi Amar Reisha Mana LaAba Biyadecha, the Seifa Mana Li Biyadecha. That the question is, you know, whose Rishus the Mumin appeared in isn't relevant for the chazaka itself. Right? It's not kanimtsa kanhaya. It's that depending on when the issue arose, mainly was she Bershus Abal, was she in Arusa, was she in Asua, that's going to determine, right, whether this is mana la'aba biyadecha or mana li biyadecha. Now, is she being toein her ksuva because she's already nesua, or is it the father? Because it's still only Erison, therefore it's his gvia saksuva. Huh? So what's fascinating is that the Gemara thinks that if the father, right, is trying to be gove the ksuva, then somehow that changes the equation. So the question is, what does it change the equation with respect to? And is this at all obvious? So regarding the first question, what impact with regard to what? So here's a major machlokas between Rashi and Tosas, and there are other shittas too. Rashi says, Manali biyadecha, v'nei mahame gufa al cheskaso. I'm sorry, earlier. Mahadu nami l'ukme kula kirabin gamliel. The chazaka de gufa adifa, the reisha lahachelah mahani chazaka de gufa lefi she'ain hataina shela ella shelavia sheksuvas erusin laav v'havle mana laba biyadecha v'gavi av lo amrinam beguf shela titehani cheskasa. So a very remarkable pshat in Rav Ashi, and that is that cheskas haguf only works for the bailin. It doesn't work for someone else. It's her cheskas aguf, her body. It's his bank account. And therefore we don't integrate that cheskas aguf with this type. That's Rashi's pshat. Tosis initially thought a different pshat, as do other Rishonim, equally fascinating. Tosis says, L'chora ha'yinir lar ben Yitzchak l'faresh, t'tam b'shum d'bari shala lo mahani la'av, t'hava kemona la'acher b'yadecha. De'eno ne'mon, gabi ha'omer ze'achi, eno ne'mon. Tosis says, the problem is, bari v'shema, that bari v'shema only works for if it's the, you know, bari al yadei acher, we'll call it, lo shma bari. The bari has to be al yadei atzmo. So whether or not this is bari al yadei acher or bari al yadei atzmo, that depends whether the father is the toein. If the father is the toein, then it's bari, right, by de acher. And if it's the daughter who is the toein, then it's bari al yidei atzmo. Then in the end, he rejects that and goes back to the first idea. So this is a very interesting question. Now let's analyze it from two points of view, right? Number one, in terms of the cheskas haguf issue, of course, there's an added chiddush there because one would have thought that cheskas aguf is an objective factor in resolving sfeikos, right? Whether it's mevare or machria, you would have thought that it would apply irrespective of who, right, is actually going to benefit or even who is the real toeg. Right, at the end of the day, the suffeg revolves around when these mumin appeared. So does it really matter whether the money goes to him or to her, or even, we'll say more strongly, whether he's the mechayev or she's the mechayev? In the end of the day, if this is some sort of an objective factor, right, in resolving or in either actually resolving or in, you know, arbitrarily deciding, let's say, this suffix, so what difference does the rest of it make, frankly? For cheskas aguf is not more or less, which is the original point of the Gemara, depending on when the suffix came to light. Mashalamad Avardome. So this is a part of a much broader topic, which I certainly don't want to get into right now, but I do have to mention. And for those who are learning, I don't know if anybody's, you know, Bekias and Kiddushin has already taken them to Samach Vav Amud Aleph? No? No? Definitely not everybody. See me. Okay. Or, you know, Tiksuvis, Gimel and Chavav in the past, for sure. This is what you know, we sometimes call the Yanai HaMelech problem. Right, the Gemara says later on in Kiddushin Samach Vav that Yanai HaMelech he, you know, was a troubling, you know, kind of a character. The Chachamim, you know, were upset that he was grabbing the kahuna as well. And they tried to, you know, put him in place. And, you know, that his mother apparently was a shvuya. Right? Yanei HaMelech Ravloch Keser Malchus, Hanach Keser Kahuna Lazarus Shal Aaron, Shahi Omrim Imo Nishbeis, this is the Gemara in Samach Vav Mad Aleph, B'modihim. And then the Gemara says, "V'yivuka shadavar b'lo nimtza," right? "V'yibadlu chachmei Yisrael b'zam." It's a whole story, okay? And there was a lot of, you know, tension created by the stories, to say the least. And the whole story is Shem ben Shetach, right? They killed all kal chachmei Yisrael. "V'olam mishtomei mad shabash Shem ben Shetach v'hichzer esatora liyoshna." This wasn't such a simple matter. Anyways, the Gemara says, "Hey Chidami, Ilei mid the Beit Trei Amri Shtabai, Beit Trei Amri Lo Shtabai, My Chodz to Samchas Ahani, Smokahani." Elevate Echad. This is where the Gemara discusses. Edechad Bakasha. Very fascinating Gemara. Very important Gemara. Okay. So Rashi has a major chiddush here. Rashi says that, you know, there's Trey U'Trey. And normally we say Trey U'Trey is, you know, if we take holds Trey U'Trey Sveika Drabanan, then we should say that Mukminan Chazaka. So Yanai's mother, right, had a cheskas kashras. So there's Trey U'Trey, she had a cheskas kashras. So what do we want from Puryane? Right, that is the, that's Rashi. So Rashi says, "The Amri Yishtabai, the Hecha Kamalo Matsu, Yom Rizuki Trei Levahade Trei Vuka Issa V'Ches Kasa, Hani Mili Dihava Kamon V'Hoysa Ba LeBezdin LaHatira, Aval Bna Zeh Hanidon Ein Lo Chazaka De Kashrus Shari Miidim Al Tchilas LeDaso B'Psul." Very big, very mechudash Rashi. Rashi says, "Yeah, the mother had a Cheskas Kashrus." But she's not on trial, right? She's not even alive. No, he's on trial. Now, what would Rashi have said if she was alive? Or if both of them were on trial? Ah, very important, very unknown question, but a very important issue, as we'll discuss in just a second. Either way, what emerges from Rashi is that at least when she's not on trial and when, you know, she can't even be brought in as exhibit, you know, number one, you know, and it doesn't affect her anymore. I don't mean really whether she can be brought in. So then, Yanai's mother's chazaka, right, which if the Din Torah, for whatever reason, had been directly about her, certainly would have been machria, is not going to help you here. And the Baalei Tosfos disagree. They say that cannot be, right? Hikshava Kuntras, they quote Rashi. They give Rashi's answer. And they say, Vim Tomar, Mivikom Mokom, Tahani Le, Chazaka de Ime, Shahoisa Becheskas Kashrus, Darmina Beper Kamadik Suvis, Safid Gimel, the Devra Machshir Ba, Machshir Bebita. And Tosis' answer is, no, Lo Amar Ukutre, Bahade Tre, Levitrumidra Banan, Tre Utre Svekadra Banan. This is an Isidraban. Okay. Basically, it's a machlokas Rashi and Tosos when you have a chazaka, right, that doesn't belong to the prime baldavar, we'll call it, whether or not it can just be ignored. The pashtus, Tosos is very reasonable shita. Tosos is saying, if you have a chazaka, it's an objective factor, and why shouldn't we calculate it? Why should its calculation be contingent upon who the formal baldavar is? Right? And therefore they reject it, based on the Gemara of Makshir Ba, Makshir Bita. The truth is, Makshir Ba, Makshir Bita might be a different issue. There's a straight Yuchsin question, but okay. There are ways to be mechalek in either direction. If you look at the Rishonim also on Daf Yud Gimel and Ksuvis, fine. So a lot of Mefarshim explain that this Machlokas Rashi and Baalei Tosfos is a fundamental Machlokas, whether, you know, Chazaka is a Birur or a Hakra. The more you see it as a Birur, the more it should totally not be contingent upon who's using it or who's benefiting from it, because it's an objective factor. If you think it's more of a Hakra, right, even then, it's hard to see why, but at least there's something to talk about. More important is, again, the comment that Rashi made before, which is about, you know, is she alive? Is it her fate that's a... Meaning, what is the Din Torah, what is the Mechayiv in this case? You know, you might be Mechalek between the Mechayiv and the consequence, the application. Right? Really, are we discussing... The Din Torah really revolves in a content way, right? And really, Yanai's status really depends in a content way too, one might say, on the status of his mother. Right? On the other hand, the technical, you know, practical consequences are now limited to Yanai. So even if we were to take the view that in order to invoke a chazaka, or a certain type of chazaka, right, you have to be the baldavar, right? What's koveya, the baldavar? The baldavar befoal, whose bank account or whose, you know, actual, you know, suffers or benefits from the impact, or the mechayev, right? Either in the sense of the source of the safek, right? Getting to the safek at its source, right? Or maybe even more than that, right? Not just the source of the safek, but the real mechayev in terms of the status here. Is can you separate Yanai's status from his mother's in that sense? And in that sense, maybe that's what Rashi had in mind when he said, well, she's not even alive. Was that just, you know, like, you know, don't bother me about Yanai's mother, she's not even alive. And had she been alive, it wouldn't have mattered anyway, because we're dealing with him and not her. Or no, had she been alive, so then at least we'd say that the, you know, she's the Mechayev. Or we'd say there are two Dinei Torah here, and we're not going to split between one Din Torah and another when they're both pending. If it applies to one, it gets in the system. It gets in the system. It's a recognized factor. We talked about this in terms of, you know, whose Leidas HaSafek is it? Whose file is it? Whose Kabbalas Edus is this? Is it the son? Is it the mother? And what determines that? Both in Sanhedrin and Ksuvos, we talked about that issue a lot. So that's one factor. So the question of the relationship between the Machlokas Rishonim, how to read Ravashi in Ksuvos, Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, and the Yanai case is a very intriguing one. Because, again, it's very interesting that, you know, Rashi in both cases comes out okay, right? Because Rashi says about both cases that the cheskas, Rashi says on Ayin Vav, cheskas aguf, right, of the daughter doesn't help the father, right? Just like Rashi said that the cheskas aguf, the chazaka rather, sorry, of the muxakos of the mother, I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute, doesn't help the son. But even then, it sounds like if the mother had been alive, that maybe it would have been different. Here the daughter and the father are alive. Right? So maybe that should make a difference. But that, no terrible steer in Rashi. But for the Re, for Bali Tosis, who don't reject Rashi completely, on Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, even though they do reject him in Yanai, so is there a difference between father and daughter and mother and son? Or is it the specifics of the type of chazaka it is? In one case, it's a chazaka which is an absolute mukzakos that nothing changed. Right? In the case of Shvuya, we say, oh, she's a tahora. Nothing happened to her. Her kashrus, lekahuna, right, was never affected. Right, as opposed to cheskas haguf, which is a different kind of a chazaka. That's a general question, if it really is a different kind of chazaka. Namely, it's a situation where you can't deny that change took place. It's not a question of yes or no. It's a question, what I like to say. It's not an if question, it's a when question. Like, when did the change take place? If you freeze frame any when question, I'm just going to say this quickly, since this is like a not a throwaway share, but a non-prepared share. So when you freeze frame any when question, it turns into an if question. But the question is whether that's legally significant. People following me? No. Oh, Jonathan, you should follow me the most, because this is like a physics issue. No, not really. A timing issue. Meaning, if you ask about the status of a person at a particular time, like if I say, oh, what was her status at the moment, at the time that she was married? Did she have mumin? At that particular moment in time, if I zero just in on that question, I say, oh, at that moment, did she have mumin, yes or no? Right? Is that any different than saying, she wasn't born with mumin, now she has mumin, right? When did she get the mumin? Right? Or mikvah shenimdad v'nimtza chaser. right? The mikvah was complete, right? And now we know it's chasid. So if we zero in on any particular moment in time, you know, what was the status of the mikvah? You know, we know that between day one and day 22, when we checked it, and we checked it again, right, that there was a change. But if I ask the question, with that time span in mind, so then I'm asking a when question. Like, when did it change? But if I say, oh, what was the status on day 8 or day 20 when X and Y toveled in the mikvah or toveled their kalim in the mikvah, right? So in theory, I don't have to ask, when did it change? I could ask, on day 12, right, was it still becheskas malay? On day 20, was it still becheskas malay? That's what I mean when I say that if you reformulate the question and you zero in on a particular moment, in theory you can turn any when question into a if or what question. But the question is whether al pidin, right, you have the right to do that or not. Anyways, so are the distinctions in these questions between the relationship of father, daughter, mother, son, right? Are they the different chazakas? Or, more to the point, are they the question that we're very much interested in? And that is the question of the mechayev itself. The more we see, getting back to our case, what's the situation on Ayin Vav in Ksuvis? The father, right, is being Toveya, the Ksuva, right, at the time of Erusin. And the daughter is being Toveya, the Ksuva, at the time of the Nesuin. Where the father is being Toveya, the Ksuva, and it goes to him, it goes to his bank account. So the more we look at that, you know, artificially, or as an exception, or just as a fiscal, you know, reality consequence, but not as it did in the Mechayev. It's not that, oh, it's his Ishus until that point, right? And it was his Maisa Kedushin, and it's even his Kalos Ishus, Shalktana. So he's the Mechayev. Or no, it's really her Ishus, it's her even Maisa Kedushin, it's even her money, albeit she can't have her own bank account, so it got rerouted to his bank account. Right? The question is, you know, is it really somebody else's Cheskas HaGuf and somebody else's Taina? And in that Gufa, you certainly could be Bechaleg when it comes to Psul Kahuna and the connection of Yanai and his mother in either direction, and the question of, you know, this father and daughter. Similarly, with regard to Tosis's suggestion about Bari B'Shema, right, is this Bari Al Yidei Acher or not? Certainly, right, Mana La'aba B'Yadecha, you know, it's his, it's her Bari, right? It's his bank account. Does that make it Mana La'aba B'Yadecha? Certainly, if the paradigm is Mana La'achicha, somebody who's a complete third party or second party, it's not comparable. Gufa, what does Bari Al Yidei Acher depend on? And what does, if you do need some sort of fusion between, at minimum, a Cheskas HaGuf and a Taina, what do they depend on? Do they depend on the Bailim Le'inyan, the Mamon? Or do they depend on the Mechayev? Right? So there's a double question here. What is the relationship of father and daughter regarding the Ksuva? And, right, assuming it's... everybody agrees that it goes to his bank account. It's at minimum rerouted. Maybe we could say more. Maybe he's the Bailam on the Mammon and she's the Bailam on the Ishus. Right? What's Koveya Lagabe Bari Al Yidei Acher? What's Koveya Lagabe, right, the question of Chazaka? Maybe it depends on the nature of the Ksuva. Right? The more we think of the Ksuva as pure money, maybe the money recipient is Koveya. The more we think of Ksuva, this is again for the people who are here in Masechet Ksuva, it's part of our introduction. Right? The more we think of Ksuva as part of the kiyum of the Ishus itself, right? So, you know, the money part is how it's expressed. That's, you know, Shalote Kalabain of Lahotzia, or the Doraisa equivalent, Mar Yamarena Lalisha. But it isn't really the Mechayiv, right? The real Mechayiv is the Ishus. It's her Ishus. All I'm saying is that both Bari Ayide Acher and the fusion or the connection to the Cheskas Haguf are going to depend a lot both on what they are connected to, but on the relationship of father and daughter. And the same is true with regard to some issues in the Rambam. So the Rambam, just to remind us one of that we already know of, in Hilchos Nara Besula, Paragimel, Halacha Yud Zayin, again, part of our Hagdama this year, right, the Rambam speaks about Kedeshim. So the Rambam says, you might have thought, one second, not Paragimel, Paragbeis, sorry, Ani Omer, this is all going to be familiar, right, Shezesh Enemar Batara Al Techalel Et Bitcha Lahaznosa, Shalayomer Ha'av Ho'il V'lochiva Torah Mefata V'yones, Ela She'itein Mamon La'av. This is the thought process you might have had, right? Namely, Pitu Yinones, there's no death penalty. It's translated into financial compensation or punishment. She'itein Mamon La'av. So Harani Socher Biti Habesula Lezeh. Love aleha b'chol mamon she'erza o aniach zeh love aleha b'chinam she'esh ladam limcha v'litin mamona l'chol mi she'erza kach nemar al techalel es bitcha laznosa she'zeh shechiva torah le'onos amfata mamon lo malkes right b'she'ira davar mikra shel odas avia v'lo hechina atzma l'kach she'davar ze'ina hove tamid ben matzui.
Then
he goes on to say, therefore it's loka and the whole business. So this is a very striking Rambam. Right? Not so much, I mean, it's part of the Rambam's very striking shita about Ishus and Kdesha and Pilegesh, as we know. But even this little frozen Hamamina, it's a little shocking, right? And it's not true, Baruch Hashem. But what does it even mean? Meaning the Hamamina was that this is all about dollars and cents, it goes to his bank account anyway, and therefore, you know, if he wants to hire her out, you know, it is business, terrible business, or, you know, just, you know, sell her out, you know, in a more colloquial meaning. I guess they'd say throw under the bus. So he can do that because, right, it's his money. Right, he'd be the one to get the checks. Kamash Malan, it's all not true. So what was the Havamina, and what is the Maskana? Very hard to know about either. In the Maskana, is it possible? We're saying, yeah, from the Knas point of view, this is all really true. Except that the Knas is only Bakrai. And the second that he would do it another way, it touches on something else, more in terms of society, almost like the Ramban about the Bezdin, or maybe more individually, right, in terms of Kadesha and Znus, and so on. But in a Hanami, the idea that when he connects the Knas, it's his bailus, and he like has complete jurisdiction over it, is true. Or is the Maskana, if you really understand what Onus and Pitui is, we understand why it doesn't always translate, it doesn't translate into Malkus, but that doesn't mean that it's purely financial either. It's not expressed in Malkus, and it's not a violation of Znus / Kadesha, it's not an affront to or as reflected by the Ishus, all the things we've talked about in the earlier Hakdama. It's none of those things, but it is still, right, a Dvar Isur, not a Dvar Mamo. But even in the Hava Mina, right, it's interesting to raise this question. In other words, the Hava Mina sees it as a Dvar Mamon, but also sees it not just as a presumably as the rerouting of the check into his bank account. It's not just, oh, Shvach Nureh Lavia, or she can't have a bank account. Now, if we were to take the view that even from a monetary point of view, really the knas goes to him, the kiyum atashlumin is to the father. But the mechayiv, not only of the iser, right, but even of the maisa and even of the tashlumin is the daughter, that she's the one who really, you know, is mechayiv the mamon, right, then this would be completely wrong. We could say lamaskana, onus mfata remains money, but what you see from the general idea of the Isur Chalala, of Al Techalalas Bitchala Haznosa, rather, is that even the money part is not just about money. He may get the money, but even the Mechayev of the money is her. Very hard to know. Depends on other issues. So, for example, the Mishonim have a very interesting discussions about, what happens. Even the Rambam here, issues that the Rishonim debate. You know what happens? Mefuta anusa shalotava ad shebagra, ochenise san shemesa av. Let's say the maisa onus pitui was when she was a ketana, and the hamada bedin took place later. Right? Is alacha tazvav. The Rambam says, Hare arba dvarim o ashlosha shala. The Ravid isn't so sure. Amar Rama ashlosha bin mefuta imesa av lama. Right? The Ravid is saying more, it belongs to the father, no matter what. Rambam seems to see it as more flexible, which is fascinating in light of this. We'll see the Ravid is also fascinating in light of the previous halacha, which we'll get to in a second. Like, which is it? Is it about collection, the kiyum atashlumin, it's rerouting in the bank account, or is it about even the monetary mechayev? Or, for example, whole discussion in the Rishonim, Tosin Baba Kama, Dafayin Beis, the Riyah Lavan that he quotes, the Tosis quotes, and the big, big Tosis also. That's a massive Tosis in Baba Kama, equally massive Tosis in Ksuvis and Elonairus, right? The din of Ein Adam Morish Knas Bito Lebanav, right? Yesh Beger Bekever. All these sugyas about, the rules about, you know, whether the sons are yoresh, the knas, you know, from the father, lifnei gemar din lachar. I don't want to go into details because that's a whole different topic. I'm just telling you this is a related issue. To what extent are we talking about, when it comes to knas, something that, again, she is, of course, part of the Hechad Timtzi of this Knas, to put it crudely, or there wouldn't be Onus and Pitui without her, but it's the father's Demei Knas. In which case, the Dinei Yerusha are going to be whatever the typical din is with any other Knas, which is the view of many Rishonim? Or is there some special halacha in an Amorish knasbito lebanav, because this is about the special father-daughter relationship. It's not that she's a hechetitzi. She's also the bechayiv, and yet he gets the money. Right? And is that a, more of a reason or less of a reason, you know, for it to end up in the hands of the sons who are yarshim? I could make a case either way. I'm just trying to point out that whether or not the knas, habas, is treated as regular Yerusha, even Yerusha Saknas of the father or not, is linked to this question. You also might suggest that you should be mechalik between different knasos. Now, what we're saying about knasos here, again, is a question that is parallel to the question of, you know, taina, bar yalidei acher, chazaka shel acher. Is the father, you know, role here, bal korcha debito, right? Could you conceive of, you know, one person getting the money, the other person doing the action, in either direction, whether it's kana or not? These are all parallel questions, right? How do we look at hafaras nadarim? How do we look at shvach ne'urim? You might be mechalik, right? So it's interesting to also note Halacha Yud Gimel, where the Rambam says, Amra lo anasta osi, also in the case of Knas, but a little trickier, Vihu omer loki ela pasisi, right? He says, I did a terrible thing, but it wasn't anusa, you're not an anusa, you're mefuta. So, Hareza nishba shvuas haTorah al dmei hatzar umishalem boshes pgam. Boshes pgam is common to both, but tzar doesn't apply to mefuta, right? So he pays the tzar, and he's nishba on the tzar, and he's mishalem boshes pgam. Shrei hoda b'miksas hataina kemoshes bar b'mekom. This is doubly fascinating. Number one, the discussion with the Ravid. So the Ravid says, Amar Avram, ein kan shvua, lefi she'ein kan toveya, sha'tashlumim einan shela, ukemo mana la'aba biyadechahu, vimtoin avia, efshar she'yeh zehadin. Then there are some words in the Ravid that are very controversial, and there are different girsos. Ubedrisha echtedashi ones, okay? And then Imari bi Soma, Enkan Moda b'miktsas klal, Kivun b'kuta hila devarav, right? Demidaita avad. The rest of the Ravid is very difficult to read. There are different girsas, toward a different girsa. You can look it up. Part of it is related to what we're doing. Basically, Zabachoks in the Rambam and the Ravid, who is the Bailim le'inyan Moda b'miktsas? Is it the father or the daughter? Right? The Rambam is saying that when the daughter accuses, she is a bailim. Because only a bailim can trigger motive and mixas. And the Ravid says, it's not the daughter, because the money goes to the father. But the Ravid also says, the efshar, maybe it's the father. You're not so sure about that either. Maybe they both fall through the cracks. So here there's a double question. And that is, once again, now it should be noted, this isn't about the knas. This is about the mamon parts of the knas. Because the previous halacha in the Rambam, halacha Yud Beis, is where the Rambam notes, based on the Gemara, that motive miktsas is not going to apply to a knas, because if you were to have admitted, motive miktsas is pater. Right? That's the Rambam. Ein adam mishalim knas b'chol makom b'hodas piv, el al piedim lefikach omar nasti upatiti, Opititi biti shal bito shal ploni ena mishalim knas. Mishalim boshes upgam bo dos piv. Some girsos are boshes upgam v'tzar. V'chein bas shetava ish bedin v'omer la'onast patit osi v'homer lo haya dvar me'olam reizanishma hases shein she'ilo hoya hode mishalim boshes upgam v'tzar al piatzo. Very controversial rabbi. Yeah.
Is it possible that
possible to say that the Rambam really agreed to also the din of the Ravid, meaning that if the father made this claim,
correct,
in that case too would be voted in mitzvahs, because it could really be either him or her, depending on who makes the claim.
Because the Ravid, in a way, is saying that maybe neither of them,
yeah,
by saying the afshar, right? So is it possible that the Rambam will say
both,
either of them, both? So actually confirming your idea, I don't know if anybody looked it up when I gave the Marmachonis that first time. Were you inspired or just you're speculating?
Speculating.
Okay. So the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos, did I give this originally? Yeah, right? Cheskimel? We just never got... Oh, this is the Chumash. I guess we're not getting the Chumash today. Okay. HaTobeah Chavero B'davar She'esh Bo, this is Ches Gimel Hilchos Shavuos. HaTobeah Chavero B'davar She'esh Bo Knas, She'ena Mishalim Osa Al Piatzmo, Kibo Shabiyarnu, B'yesh Bo Mamon, Shuhu Mishalim Osa Al Piatzmo, B'kofar B'chol Davar B'nishma, Reza Chayim Mishum Shavuos HaPikado. Ketzad, Tovo V'omar Anasto Patita Biti, V'hu omer lo anasti v'lo patiti, v'shalem knas al pi atzmo, ilu hoda, right, hayim v'shalem bo shesu p'kam al pi atzmo. V'chein omer l'chaver ganafti shori, v'hu omer lo ganafti, v'nishma v'chai b'shuas ha-bikadon, alfa b'shin v'shalem kefel, v'hoda aso, v'shalem v'sakeren, v'hoda aso. Right? What does the Rambam say here? If he, right, imposes a shvuas apikadon on the person who owes him money, right, in a case of anasta o patita es biti, what's the halacha? Yuchayev shvuas apikadon. Because of the non-knas elements. Similarly, in Perek Tes, halacha... Mashbiachem anisha tavo v'ta'idu li sheyesh li biat ploni tashul mekeifa v'tashul medalad v'hei v'kofro chayavim b'shvuas ha'edus v'pnei ha'keren shu mamon lo m'pnei ha'keifa shu knas v'chein im ishbiyam, he just switches the order, sheyaidu lo sh'onas ploni o pita bito v'kofro chayavim b'shvuas ha'edus v'pnei ha'boshas v'apkam sh'im hoda bahen hanitva m'shalim. So the Rambam, in two psakim in Hilchos Shavuos, one in Shavuos HaPikadon, Perek Ches, the Rambam switched the order. I don't know why. I think I have a suggestion why, but not for now. In the prakim, it's, you know, Shavuos HaEdus is the fourth parak of Shavuos, and then comes the fifth parak, Shavuos HaPikadon. Anyway, the Rambam switched them. Zayin and Ches is Shavuos HaPikadon, and Tess is Shavuos HaEdus. So both in Shavuos HaPikadon context and in Shavuos HaEdus context, the Rambam says that if the father accuses the anos or the mefate, right, that there would be a chiyuv Shavuos HaPikadon and Shavuos HaEdus. So the Achronim asks this question. I don't know why the Nosei Kalim didn't. Isn't that a steer to what he wrote in the Hilchos Nahar Pesula? Right, exactly. It could be your case. So, I think it could be two answers. One is exactly what you just suggested, which is that maybe the Rambam holds that either is the Bailin.
Suppose he rejects a Palamina, no?
What's that?
Reject a Palamina in Becky and Zion. He's not the exact Palamina.
Well, not necessarily. We don't know. No. There are two things. Number one, the Rambam here is talking about the boshes, the pagam, and the tsar, not the onus, not the knas part. That's number one. Number two, as I said before, we don't know what it is that he rejects. We only know that the father, you know, isn't so much of a bailim that he could. You might say, maybe he's the bailim on the money. That doesn't mean he's the bailim to do the avera. Right? But maybe what we're saying is that in order to be a bailim, let's say there's a bailim on the machayev and a bailim on the money. Right? So does that mean that neither of them are the Bailim from one of the Mikzas? Or for to be towing in the Shavua? Or does it mean that either one is? It sounds like the Ravid wasn't so sure. Is it because he wasn't sure because it's equal, or because he thought that the money, when the Ravid's language is that, oh, like he gets the money, she can't be the Bailim. And therefore what? He is the Bailim maybe because he gets the money, or the fact that he gets the money shows that he's the Bailim. Right? If he's only getting the money, it's a Kiyum HaTashlumin, maybe that eliminates her, but it's still not enough for him. And maybe the Rambam is saying exactly the opposite, exactly what you suggested, namely that maybe either one of them is a Bailim. It's not Bari Ali De Acher. It also could be that we could be Mechalek between the Shavuos here. Meaning, maybe Lo Harei Moda B'miktas, Kaharei Shavuos HaPikadon Shavuos HaEidos. You might really say that Lo Harei Shavuos HaPikadon Kaharei Shavuos HaEidos either, but let's leave that for the moment. There is a lot of evidence that when it comes to Shavuos HaEidos and Shavuos HaPikadon, either or both, that the Mechayiv has a lot to do, certainly in Shavuos HaPikadon, but again, I shouldn't say that. The evidence is mixed for different people, but there's good reason to think about each one of them that the Mechayiv may be, let's say, in the case of Shavuos HaPikadon, the Gezel component. Reb Chaim thought that for sure, that Shavuos HaPikadon is Mechayiv of Gzela. Reb Chaim noted that if you look at the Gemara in the fifth parak of Shavuos, the Gemara talks about Karkain and Gzelas, you know, in the same sugya as the fact that there's no Shavuos HaPikadon Bekarka. If you look at the Gemara, I don't think it's Mukhrach that means it's the same din, and I think Rashi clearly is avoiding that conclusion, but Reb Chaim thought that and other things indicate that Shavuos HaPikadon the Mechayiv is Gezel. Independently, there seems to be a lot of evidence for the idea that Shavuos HaEidos, the Mechayiv is Hefzid Mamon. In other words, Kvishas Eidos HaMafzid Mamon. Not the Kvishas Eidos per se. Although there are some Rishonim who certainly disagree on both of those points. Let's say it this way. The Rajba and the Tosa Rush think that even more than Shavuos HaPikadon, Shavuos HaEidos is about the impact. Reb Chaim may have thought the opposite, but either way, what you might say is, in looking at this question, where you have, you know, somebody who is affected by the outcome, the foal, whose bank account, even through rerouting perhaps, right, is befall, his bottom line is affected by what's going on, right? As opposed to, is he the bailim on the, let's say there are three levels, right? You know, who gets the money? That's clear. He gets the money. Who's the bailim on the mamon? Meaning it goes directly to his bank account because he's the bailim on the mamon, or it gets rerouted because she can't or doesn't have one, or for some other broader shvach nurel lavia din. Okay, that's a second level. Or right, either he's getting the money, he's the bailim on the money, or he's even the bailim on the mechayev. Again, she's the hechatimtzi. So, similar to the questions that we're asking here, except that it might be different knas and mamon, might be different shvach and urim, and so on. All these cases might be different. But we might also say is that if there's a little bit of one and a little bit of the other, so then it depends on the mechayev of the Shavua or whatever that we're dealing with. And Lo Harei, let's say, Halacha Yud Zayin, which talks about his ability to, you know, sell her services in this horrendous way, that's one case. Moda B'miktsas and the Hagdara of who's the Bailim on the Taina of Moda B'miktsas is a second question. But especially when it comes to Shavuos HaEidos and Shavuos HaPikadon, if indeed they're more driven by the monetary hefsed part, so even if it's just rerouting, right, even if he's not the bailim on the momentous part, he is the affected party on the momentous part. It's So that would also be a way to explain the discrepancy if we didn't want to take your suggestion, which I like very much, which is that maybe there are two Bailim. Okay, so we're going to stop here. But you get the basic idea, which is that to coordinate all these issues, the Knas and the Momo, the idea of Boshes u'Pagam in the Sugya, which again Rishonim struggled to distinguish between that, Ibay Masar Lala, Lemuka, Shin, or Lemanuval, what is Boshes u'Pagam, whether that is separate from the others, particularly vis-a-vis this question of, you know, who's the real Mechayev, is an issue which comes up a lot in the Nosei Kelim on this Rambam as well. Because the Rambam, in Hilchos Chovel, this is something the Sanhedrin people hopefully will remember from last year, in Hilchos Chovel, the Rambam seems to say that even Boshes and Pgam and Tsar are Knas, where, as, you know, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, and here in Hilchos Nahar Besula, he seems to distinguish between the hardcore Knossos and things like Tsar and Boshes and Pgam. There's a whole, his grandson, you know, has a whole chew. The Kesem Mishnah here quotes the, you know, the whole discussion. Hanagid Rabbi Yeshua mibnei banav shel Rabbeinu nishal al ze, you know, that steer. The heshiv that mishpat atzar benara ena kama mishpato benechbal. Very fascinating distinction between tsar and chabala and tsar and nara murasa. Now again, whether the grandson, you know, was home any more than the son, you know. About Maven Yavin, I don't know, but it's a fascinating suggestion. But the point is that some of these, you know, have a status of knas, but they're a different kind of a knas. Right? They're knas maybe le'inyan, you know, certain halachos, you know, in terms of categorizing them as xelos v'chabalos and knasos, as opposed to hoda'os and halva'os and so on. Maybe with regard to whether Hodah works to be Mechayev you, as opposed to whether Moda b'miftar is Poter you. But the point I'm trying to make is that all these different Boshes and Pagam, based on the Gemara here also, we might draw the line about the relationship between father and daughter in different places, and that might explain a lot of the discrepancies. But the takeaway is that the problem is parallel to all these issues. Namely, to what extent and how we look at this partnership between father and daughter in Ishus, in Shvach Neurim, in Knas, as well as what is Mamon, what is Iser, right? Is Kiddushin Mamon or Iser, Machlokas HaRishonim in this Sugya, is, you know, the ability to sell your daughter La'ama, is that relevant to the Kiddushin? Is Giyud an Ishus, you know, of Avdus, and so on. These are all the issues that surface in this particular sugya. So maybe we'll speak a little more about it, but I do still want to speak about Banim, Bnei Banim, Kibanim, but that another time. Thursday, we'll begin with Nasan Hu of Amrahi, the Gemara in Hayamad Beis, and the Amira issues. That'll be our next big topic, our next topic. And after that, we'll go on to Makadesh.